This is ESPN Radio.
You know, we love rocking the bells each and every morning. By the way, that's a great channel, Sirius XM Channel 43. But it's also great stuff with Jay Williams and Freddie Coleman together this morning on ESPN Radio, as well as the ESPN app. Sirius XM Channel 80, don't forget about us on ESPNU, presented by Progressive Insurance. And believe me, that's before we get to Jerry Jones talking about getting Jonathan Taylor, that Spades conversation, and I'm not going to say it's your fault. I'm going to say thank you.
You're welcome.
Many people weighing in on social media about this, and apparently – whether we were you were throwing strays at certain people.
By the way, let me state
go ahead.
For the record.
State it. Go ahead.
I am Hammy Butler, who will throw strays at randoms all day. And Stephen A. just caught it today.
Yes, he did.
That's my big brother. That's my man. He's back now.
Yes,
he's back. I've seen him popping off. He's been coming out, swinging at people, and I like it.
So
we
won't
talk about it.
Yeah,
so I took a swing. No, that's what we do. Yeah,
he said Stephen A. Smith wouldn't be good in spades. I said Ryan Clark.
I didn't say that. I said I wonder if Stephen A. would be good at spades and who his partner would be.
Yeah, and I went about Ryan Clark. I said, I don't know if Ryan Clark would be as good as Marcus Spears, or he'd be a good spades player. And hearing Ben Amy say, hey, Ryan, Freddie out here in these streets saying you're suspect of a spades partner.
See?
Dude, defend yourself. See, Henry, that's why we can't be friends anymore, for that reason.
Freddie,
and that's my man, by the way.
I don't know, Freddie. I'm second-guessing you on spades, though.
Why?
Because Monica McNutt,
Okay.
I feel like she might be an elite spades player.
Hey, if you want to chuck me for her, that's fine.
Chuck is a strong word.
I don't care. You just saying you're going to do it, and now, Chuck is a strong word.
I'm just saying I'm questioning our relationship right now.
Why?
That's all. I'm just, you know.
Why?
Because I just.
You just want a better partner. Just come out and say
I'm looking over there and that look better. That's okay. Feels like a better partner.
That's
for
quite
me.
All right. You chuck me for Monica.
No, Michael Eves.
We'll see you. The okay corral.
I thought about it for a second. I'm with you, Freddie. Take me.
Not like that. I don't know what that was.
I don't know. It just happened. Take me.
I don't know what.
I retract that statement.
How did we get here?
I retract that. I just meant like I'm on your team.
Don't retract the statement. Retract
I'm
the motion.
On your team, man. You know. No. Yates, turn it off.
Alan, no.
Give
keep
me something
going.
Stronger.
Keep no.
Give
keep
me something more.
Going. Upbeat.
No, I don't
keep,
want.
Keep shouting.
I don't
going.
Want Saeed.
Keep shouting going.
I just don't. things that happened that shouldn't happen. We're like, why did I?
Because
do
you,
that?
You didn't think that out in your head.
No, I didn't.
You just went right out
with
it.
Yeah, I just said it. So before we get into Jerry Jones, I have someone else I want to bring up here.
What's that?
Because as Pat is looking at me in the background, like, you guys are just so off the rails today. Welcome to every day of my life, Pat.
Today.
I heard Gilbert Arenas talk about something the other day, and I want to ask you guys this question.
Sure.
Ready? I'll start with you.
Go ahead.
And then Costello. Yates, I'll come to you guys on.
And also Mark Morales. Don't
forget so about him. On his pod that he was talking about the fact he was asked if he made $170 million during his career, okay? He was asked if he would take $120 million instead of the 170 for a championship ring. Pretty much the price of that ring would be $50 million.
Easily, yes.
You would say yes?
No, I'm saying easily in terms of
okay,
the
so
money.
Like, all right, so like if somebody said you made $170 during your career.
Right.
And now I'm saying, hey, are you willing to exchange $50 million to be a world champion? So you only make $120 in your career. What would you say?
I'd exchange that in a minute.
For a championship ring.
I'm not even a second thought.
I'm taking the $50 million. I'm not even thinking a second about it.
Yeah, I'm exchanging that because I still got $120 million left.
Yeah, 170 you can make that money up in investments and all the
no
other ventures
question.
And stuff like that. You could
no
yeah.
That's $50 million.
Yeah, but I can still make that
$50 million
and have a championship ring in addition to $120 I already got.
But isn't
Show
that
money,
a championship?
Jerry.
Isn't like what? See, this is what I think people are losing sight of.
Okay.
You are creating generational wealth. That is a championship.
I get
so it. So I get that it's not the championship that people want you because this is what we do in sports radio. Like, oh, if you don't win a championship, you're not worth anything.
Well
actually,
yeah,
no.
That's silly,
actually, it's
yeah.
not the case. I'm worth a lot of things, and I'll be worth $50 million, Freddie.
Yeah. I'll take that.
Even
50.
Take away jock tax, federal tax. Mm. I still have $25 more million dollars than I had before
no doubt
for
about
my
that.
Kids, for them to go to school,
I
and for me
you.
To make generational investments.
If you can't make generational investments and worth at $50 million less, then you're just a bad businessman.
Yeah,
you're bad at accounting.
You're only gonna have 120. Oh no.
Poor baby. Yeah. Man. Ooh, let's get the Venmo account ready for him.
170 is way different than 120.
No,
what do you guys?
120 is closer to 100 than 170 is to 200. So give me the 170.
What are you guys talking about?
I don't know what Alan's talking about. I have no idea what you're talking about there either.
Pat,
I'm with you on
that
one, Alan.
If somebody told you that you could make $170 million. As opposed to $120 million, you're just saying, okay, give me the 120, I'll be fine.
And a championship ring. You could do Ace Ventura. So what, it's what, 120 what, million what, and a championship
What if you
ring.
Were a 10-time All-Star and you were a 2-time MVP, you just never happened to win a chip?
You're telling me that Carmelo wouldn't trade $50 million
for
a ring?
Championship ring?
For his legacy?
Karl Malone?
Absolutely would.
John Stockton?
Absolutely.
Patrick
Mello
Ewing?
I don't think Melo would.
Charles Barkley?
I think Melo would either.
I think Melo would. I think Melo would.
I'm taking the chip,
He's
too.
Openly talked about that's the one thing missing from his resume, that he never had a chance to play in the NBA Finals. He's openly talked about that.
Money back for it, though. I wouldn't think.
I'm not trying to get another man's money. You're right. I'm going to leave that alone.
Please call into our show. Once again, here's the situation.
Okay, here's the situation.
Gilbert Arenas has made $170 million in his career. He was asked if he would take $120 million and a championship ring instead of the 170, essentially saying, would you trade $50 million for a world championship ring? Call into the show and tell us what you would do. For me, I'm taking the $50 million.
Yeah.
That's it.
For me,
I'm not even thinking twice about it.
For me, I'm taking the $120 million, $50 million less, and I got a championship ring. 888 say ESPN, 888-729-3776. Speaking of championship rings, we get that the Dallas Cowboys, they've been championship less since 1996. And waiting to hear what Jerry Jones had to say about do they need to go all in for Jonathan Taylor and get him from the Indianapolis Colts. But John in West Palm has something to say about what I did to Jerry Jones at 888-729-3776. Big Bad John, what you got?
Hey, Freddie, that was the best impression. Okay,
it was pretty good.
For real. That was good.
Thank you.
And happy birthday, Jay. Nice to see you back.
Thanks,
nice
brother. It's coming up soon. Well. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
You got a couple more years on me, but, man, I don't know. With that $120 million, you're good. You're good. Like, I'd take that ring in a day.
Yeah.
As far as the quarterback thing goes, though, I don't – why?
Why?
You got the chip. $120 million. How much money do you need?
Speak that sermon, John. Give it to him, John. Give it to him, John.
How much money do you need, man?
John's going to be like X. X going to give it to you.
$120 million is really $60 million, by the way. You still have to pay your agent.
I know.
So like, you're just not thinking about like, okay, I'm just throwing – I'm just letting y'all know.
But more money, more problems.
I hear you. As far as the quarterback thing goes, though, as far as who has the most to prove, I think Danny Dimes has the least to prove, even though he got that contract.
Okay.
The least.
Watch him pull an Eli. He is under the radar. He's flying under the radar, and he's just going to pop up. Watch these Giants come out the fucking East. Sorry. Watch him come out the East.
Okay. We caught it in time.
You're passionate, though. You're all right. Yes. You good? Okay. So you said the least to prove is Daniel Jones.
Okay.
I haven't thought about it like that.
Me neither. That's fascinating. Yeah, that is kind of fascinating, especially when they're building that offense more around him than Saquon Barkley to make sure that he can be the guy in that division with Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia, Dak Prescott with the Dallas Cowboys. They don't want him to have that gap be that much further below those two guys when it comes to Daniel Jones in that division.
It is fascinating, though, that all the talk, I mean, even after Daniel Jones got his, you know, for those years that are guaranteed for $80
million. Yeah, $82 million guaranteed for the first 2 years, yep.
The talk was always around Saquon Barkley being the heart and the soul of his team. So it is like he is in the backdrop of all the Saquon Barkley mess going on.
Mm-hmm.
As it relates to his year. So that makes a little bit of sense.
It does, yeah, in a way, because now they're saying we're going to try to do everything we can to reduce that kind of pressure on Daniel Jones by making sure he has more weapons and more of a point guard mentality to be that kind of quarterback. And it also lets them know, saying that we're going to show you that we don't need Saquon Barkley as much to help out our quarterback.
Well, that's how you make additions like Darren Waller and some others.
Yeah, and getting guys like that. But when it comes to the other team in that division, when it comes to Dallas Cowboys, people wondering, should they go all in when it comes to Jonathan Taylor, the Indianapolis Colts, to that running back? Look, if you want to be traded, you're going to have to do it. We're not going to do nothing. Deuces, we're out. Well, Jerry Jones was asked about that because Clarence Hill of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram asked him, and Jerry responded this way, and I'll do it just for you, John, in West Palm Beach. I look at every opportunity, but the way our young backs are playing, I am very comfortable with where we are with our backs right now. I feel good about our running back position if we didn't add anybody, end quote. I get it because you got Pollard, a move from Ezekiel Elliott. They don't want to pay a running back because of the Dallas Cowboys. A guy like that, if you can get him from $8 million and you're $19.8 million under the salary cap, and he plays with a star on his helmet.
You're not going to get Jonathan Taylor for $8 million. Jonathan Taylor wants to be in the $12 million range.
Well, he does, but right now he's going to make $4.3 million from the Colts, so you're almost doubling his salary.
I guess the thing is, are you willing to give up that amount of capital if you're in a bidding war? If it turns into a bid,
Well, who is he bidding against? Well, I'll ask that question. Well,
maybe the Miami Dolphins.
Maybe.
I mean, look.
Or a team out there that we don't know about.
We don't know about. So
possibly.
It's like, what's the asking price? If the asking price is less. But also, can we just be honest about this? You don't think there's any world with all, Freddie, with all the people that I know, you know how many things I know that people I know talk to other people who I, you know what I mean?
Right.
So
I
like,
hear you
don't think there's a bird or some kind of squirrel with a message wrapped around his foot that gets delivered, right? I don't know how we're what messengers look like these days in 2023. Okay, I'm talking about back in the historic times, the medieval times. Okay?
As someone who was a bike messenger, I know where you're going
you know
with
what
this.
I mean? Like,
so
you
carry on.
You don't think there's anything with Jim Irsay? Like, all right, like, is this real?
Yeah.
Are you really parting ways? Are you using this for leverage?
I guarantee you, if someone comes to Jim Irsay with a deal that's comparable, he'll shut it down real quick. Oh, you know, we love Jonathan Taylor. We don't want him to go anywhere because he doesn't believe somebody is going to buck the trend of the NFL owners that don't want to do that and pay a running back that kind of money. Let one person put that out there. Oh, yeah. Hey, Jim Irsay, I'll give you a second-round pick for Jonathan Taylor, and I'll pay that guy $10 million.
Lamar Jackson, prime example of it. Who
exactly.
made a bid for Lamar Jackson?
Not
nobody.
Not a soul. Not a soul. Let one person do that, and Jim Irsay will turn tail real quick, wanting to keep Jonathan Taylor at $4.3 million and not let him go to somewhere else. Would you take $50 million less for a championship ring? I would. Jay Will wouldn't. We'll explain that, and you can weigh in at 888-729-3776. This all got started because a former NBA player who said that, man, $50 million less to take a championship ring, and that dilemma was put out there. Jay Will says he wouldn't do it. I would. What would you do? Your calls are next at 888-729-3776 on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPNU.
This is ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It's Jay Williams. I'm Freddie Coleman. Appreciate you joining us this AM on ESPN Radio as well as the ESPN app. Sirius XM Channel 80 and ESPNU. So the argument is, well, not a real argument. Gilbert Arenas, and what was he on, by the way, when he had this whole thing that you brought
his
up?
His own podcast.
His own podcast, yes. Gilbert Arenas. And the question
was called Gil's
posed,
Arena.
Yes. And the question was posed about money and not having a ring or less money and having a ring.
Yeah. So essentially the exercise was, would he take $50 million less over the course of his career with his overall earnings in order to win a championship ring?
And what was his answer?
Hell no. Well, by the way, I mean, ESPN has done a 30 for 30 on this about broke athletes and a lot of this stuff.
Because Bart Scott was a part of that as well. It was fantastic.
Like, I just got the Robinson Report at Just Tuan said ESPN has a whole 30 for 30 called Broke. Taking a ring that has nothing but sentimental value is a bad financial decision. Tell Freddie to stop it.
What do you mean? It's not about, it has nothing to do with a bad financial decision. The point is, it's not a bad financial decision if you decide to take $50 million less, you got a championship ring. It's not about that in terms of a bad financial decision. It's what I would bring to the table compared to him. If he thinks a bad financial decision, that's on him. I don't care about it as a bad financial decision because I got $120 million in the freaking bank with a championship ring while you got all that money and no championship ring. I'm going to be highly regarded with a championship ring and $50 million less. So that's not a bad financial decision. That's a terrible response.
There's a lot of contexts out there, though, because a lot of people think like, oh, I got 120. You don't have $120 million in the bank. You got 60 in the bank after taxes, okay? Let's leave taxes out of it.
We said 170,
but
120.
But it's not. You factor it in. I just want to put things, not everybody's always going to be financially frugal with their lifestyles. A lot of these athletes live lifestyles where their burn rate is pretty high.
I don't doubt that.
Once again, you're looking at things, it's all going to be where you are at that given time. If I got a cool 60, like I haven't touched my money, right, and I'm living off endorsements, fine, which is the way it should be
done.
But a lot of times it's not done that way.
Yeah.
So an extra $50 million goes a long way.
So it goes back to what you bring to it, not what the situation brings to you.
Okay, that's fair.
As far as that goes. So when somebody says it's a bad financial decision, that's idiotic to say that. Because you can say it's a bad financial. You can say you made worse financial decisions with $170 million wasting money and not having a championship ring.
That's accurate. So when somebody says
that having a championship ring is a bad financial decision, they don't know what the hell they're talking about. Because I don't know what you're bringing to the table with $170 million or $70 million or 5 cents. If you're an idiot with money, then it doesn't matter if you have a championship ring or not. If you're great with your money, then it doesn't matter if you have
Being great with your money dependent upon who you allow yourself to be surrounded by with
your money?
Because a lot of people don't know how to vet their teams around them, which lead to these type of situations.
Exactly.
Right?
So when somebody says having a ring is a bad financial decision, that's idiotic to say I don't know what they're bringing to the table.
It's like when people win the lottery. Everybody's like, oh, they're set for life. And like 80% of the time, they go broke.
Or like when guys win a championship in the NBA and everybody buys restaurants. Next thing you know, they're going broke. Yeah, exactly.
I'm just taking the money.
I'm taking the ring and the money. Either way is fine.
Either way is fine.
Slapped the mic like that.
Well, you mugged the microphone yesterday. I get the microphone today. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Mike in San Francisco, the situation is $170 million and no ring or $120 million and a championship ring. Which side are you on and why?
Money.
So I hope that you can just give me 1 second, seriously, because I love you guys and I love the passion. But
appreciate you.
Here's my thing. When anybody started in whatever profession they're in, whether it's sports or, you know, I'm driving to work right now at 5 a.m, there's very few, I think, that are starting out like, I want to be the best. I want to ring. Mm-hmm. Right? You're starting out in that profession to make money, right? That's what we do.
That's fair.
Or at least for me, right? So at the end of the day, I'm looking at it and going, you know what? I would take that ring, obviously, but what about number 50 or number 52 on that team that has a ring? Is that doing them any good, or would they have taken more money, you know, if the opportunity came? I would love a ring, obviously. I would love I'm the best, employee. I'm the best salesman. I'm the best, you know, whatever it is at my company that I work for. But ultimately, if somebody offered me, 40% more pay, and said, you know what, you just keep doing your job and we're going to give you 40% more pay. And, you know, at the end of it, you may or may not be the best that's ever lived. I got to take that.
Yep.
And so to me, it's percentages, right? It's not 50 million. It's like, all right, so I look at it 120 million versus 150 million. Well, I'm looking at it as 120,000 versus 150,000.
So do it that's a great way to do it.
You guys are talking in different. Oh, go ahead.
That's a great way to do it.
No, it's not a great way to do it. It's the goofy way to do it.
No, it's not.
It doesn't make any sense.
Because you could be a mid-level player scratching your surface.
It's not a one-to-one correlation, though, because, sorry, Mike, but no one cares about your legacy. We do care about players' legacies in sports, though. Dude, I don't care harsh. About your legacy
Mike,
working
first
in
off,
your office.
Freddie Coleman apologies. And I did not say that. Please do not.
No,
do
no,
that.
I'm just, yeah. I'm just saying. Like,
that,
it's
that,
not,
that was a miseducation of Pat Costello.
Like, if, I just want you to know that.
If you're working in a grocery store, now.
That's right. Yeah.
Of course you're gonna. Of course you're gonna take more money in your like. I work at like Costco. You're gonna take more money, of course. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about professional sports where championships and legacy matter. They don't matter working at Costco. It doesn't, yeah. No one's going to be like, oh, man, we, Mike.
Yeah, but we make it matter. Like we
okay, don't get all like
I'm
philosophical.
Not, I'm not.
It matters.
I'm just trying to tell you how we look at it
now.
On the end. I'm just trying to tell you how we look at
you
it.
You matter
on the
more
end.
Because you won no, in college.
I'm going to say something seriously. I'm just telling you how we look at it as an athlete from the inside out. All this extra stuff like, oh, I have to, this is how I prove. Like if you're Aaron Rodgers, right? Oh, I can't prove my greatness until I win multiple titles. So a random guy comes to me like, you only got one. You never won. Here's your record. I'm like, oh, really? You're telling me about what my record is?
I've always
said you're telling me about like what winning a Super Bowl is because you know what it takes to get it.
I've always
said
when people say that you only got
I've
always said when people say you only got one championship. I've always hated that. When I'm looking at it, I said, do you realize how hard it is when a playoff game and then stack playoff game upon playoff game upon playoff game and then be in a chance to win a Super Bowl and win a championship? When people throw that argument at me, they can miss me.
T-Mac yeah, he should have won more than one championship.
T-Mac is one of the best to play the game, and T-Mac doesn't have a championship.
You're telling me he wouldn't have taken $50 million less to win one? T-Mac definitely would have. That's why do you think he was on the bench for the Spurs for the last, like, 2 years of his career? He won a title.
The last 2 years of his career.
Whatever it was. Last year?
But then he wins the championship, and then people take credit away from the chip. So it's like, if you're not – like, it's hard to win a championship in any sport.
Exactly.
It's not that hard to be a player and create a lucrative life for yourself. Like, Rashard Lewis, Joe Johnson, they got wildly paid. They didn't win any championships. I don't know how upset they would be about their career earnings versus, oh, you didn't win a chip, you weren't anything in the league.
But I'm also like, not looking at like, it, in the league. It's like it goes to this place of, like, if you don't win a Super Bowl, you're a failure. I'm like, wait, pause on that whole conversation.
Yeah, I've never understood that
like,
at
let's
all.
Just rewind never. That back. And by the way, if you're making if you're making an extra $50,000 or $50 million, that just within itself can change so many people's lives,
but more than
a championship could.
But if you have $120 million and you have a championship ring and you treasure that and people see that you treasure that, that can change lives too. That you can have both.
If you can have both, but this is not the world of having both.
I know. That's why I would take $120 million. I can make that work, $120 million, have a championship ring with it. Now, if you want to take the $170 million, I've never been against anybody having more money. I've never been against that.
I'm comfortable being Joe Johnson.
Me
be
too.
Honest with you.
Like, I'm comfortable being Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, I am comfortable with that if I'm those.
I'm sure they're all comfortable with that in one way, shape, or form. But at the same time, you asked me the question, I gave you my thought. You gave your thought.
I hear.
I don't think either one is wrong. But don't use the whole thing about, man, a championship ring. Stop. You can miss me with that as far as that goes. We're going to talk to a man who has a championship ring. And what would he do if his choice was $170 million and no ring? Or $120 million and a ring. And we'll talk a little NFL as well. He's Jay Williams and Freddie Coleman. Thanks for joining us this morning on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80 and ESPNU.
This is ESPN Radio.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
He is my man, Jay Williams, and Freddie Coleman. Thanks for joining us together this morning on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Right. SiriusXM Channel 80, as well as ESPNU, presented by Progressive Insurance. So when it comes to quarterbacks, when it comes to trades, when it comes to money, we can put all of that into one box with a man who won a most valuable play in the National Football League back in 1983. He's also a Super Bowl champion. It is a great, great opportunity for us to talk with Joe Theismann. Can't wait to talk about his Washington Commanders, the team that he played for when they were Washington Redskins. He joins us in ESPN Radio. Before we get to the NFL Matters of 2023, hey, Joe, what are your thoughts on the new Washington Commanders no longer being in charge by Daniel Snyder and being taken over by new ownership?
Well, I think it's, first of all, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Joe.
I think it's a nice, fresh start for everybody in Washington. You can tell by the enthusiasm at practice. They've done some really, really great things for the fans. They put up stands, about 2,500 seats at the practice field. And every time I walk out there, I almost get the sense I'm in a stadium. And I think it's great for the players. It's, you know, instead of walking out in previous years, there wasn't hardly anybody there. Everybody had become somewhat disillusioned with the way the team had played and everything that was going on and all the distractions that were off the field. Now it's all focused on the field. It's exciting for everybody in the Washington area.
Joe, when you think about everything happening with Sam Howell and Ron Rivera, and obviously that defense and where they are in the NFC East in general, what do you think the outlook should be for the Commanders this season?
I think it ought to be optimistic. Obviously, Sam, is a bit of a wild card because he doesn't have a lot of experience, but he played as well as anybody I've seen play in the preseason the other night. And to me, that's really what I was looking for. I mean, he had one game. He played against the Dallas Cowboys a year ago, the last game of the season. Really, I think 21 passes, 11 completions. It was, it was a good start for him to be able to get on the field, I guess you could say. Now, Ron did the right thing a long time ago. He named him as the starter. Even before he officially named him this week as the starter, he said that he's going in as the starting quarterback. And, Jay, when you prepare to be a starter, it's different to prepare for competition. Like Baker Mayfield and Taft down in Tampa, they finally settled that debate. But you compete in a different way. When it's your job, you get to focus on the things that you need to do. And I was impressed with the way Sam moved. I was impressed with the way he scrambled. I was impressed with the way he threw the football. And I thought the team watched him play and continued to gain confidence in him as their quarterback.
That's Super Bowl champion and NFL MVP and Joe Theismann joining us here on ESPN Radio. I'm Jay Williams alongside Freddie Coleman. And Joe, just expounding your point, I think the opportunity there for Sam – it's pretty incredible, too, with Eric Bieniemy and how he can open up that chess case of opportunities. I did want to quickly move to this Jonathan Taylor situation. Mm-hmm. I made mention of it before, Joe, listening to Austin Eckler talk a lot about his situation with the Chargers about, okay, well, open up the doors. Let's see what they can do in free agency. And he's like, well, essentially, you're pinning me down in the corner. Because it doesn't matter what somebody comes to the table is willing to offer you, you're going to deny that, and then you're still also not going to give me what I've deemed my worth to be. Do you think the same thing is actually happening to Jonathan Taylor in Indianapolis, or do you think if a team actually comes to the table with the right kind of a package, which essentially means a first rounder, do you think that Jim Irsay will let him go?
No, I think this is all smoke and mirrors. I think Indianapolis said, okay, go ahead, talk to somebody. Let's see if we can work out a deal. Indianapolis controls what the deal is going to be. And in Jonathan's case, he's just got to sit there and wait. I think that I don't understand how this happened, but there's no question in my mind that the running back position is grossly undervalued on football teams. Where would the Giants be without Saquon last year?
Mm-hmm.
You look at the Raiders. Where would they be without their running back,
Josh Jacobs?
And you look at what's going on in Indianapolis. You're planning on starting a kid that's what played 12 or 13 games,
right?
And you don't have your best running back on the field. I think it's absolutely ridiculous to say, okay, go ahead and test the market. Well, the Colts control the market. It's like, go test it, but we control it. And if we don't like the deal, you're going to have to sit out for the first 8 weeks of the season. And we've seen history many, many times where players hold out through training camp, through the first part of the season. Invariably, they're going to come back and probably get hurt, which doesn't serve them well at all. Unfortunately for Jonathan, he's been injured. But to get out on the field would be the most important thing for him, because you've got to get tempered. Nobody hits anybody in preseason and training camp. And you know, I know Aaron's probably one of the few quarterbacks that's going to play on Saturday night for the Jets, but he'll be in for two series and gone. But what about the running backs getting hit? Because it doesn't happen in practice. Coaches are scared to death to lose star players in practice and or preseason games. They want their team healthy to get ready for the season. And in the case of the Indianapolis Colts, I don't understand a lot of things that they've done. I mean, from hiring coaches to, you know, doing the things that they've done, it's been a bit confusing as far as, what are they trying to accomplish? I guess this is what, if I'm a Colt fan, I've got to ask myself one question. What are you trying to do? What are you trying to accomplish? Are you rebuilding a football team? Are you trying to win football games? What are you trying to do in Indianapolis? And I don't know if that question's been answered.
Yeah, and it may not be answered anytime soon or anytime later. The great Joe Theismann, Super Bowl champion, NFL MVP with Freddie Coleman and Jay Williams and ESPN Radio and also ESPNU. We know the quarterback position is the most important position in sports. In your opinion, Joe, what quarterback this year has the most to prove and why?
I think Russell Wilson. I've thought about this a lot. I think Russell Wilson has a lot to prove after last year's performance. He didn't play well last year. Now under Sean Payton, it'll be interesting to see how he responds in an offense that we know has had great success because we've seen it with Drew Brees. So I think he is definitely one. And oddly enough, it may sound crazy, but I also think that Aaron Rodgers has a lot to prove. He brings an incredible resume to the Jets. But we all hear the chants. We all know the Jet fans. We all know how frustrated they have been. It's a heck of a defensive football team. He's brought brought guys from Green Bay with him so that they can teach the offense. I was watching a little bit of Hard Knocks last night, mm-hmm. and you know what Cobb's been able to do with the young receivers. And so you've got, you know, Aaron went there because Nathaniel Hackett is there. Mm-hmm. Aaron's familiar with this offense. Aaron's probably as much a coach right now as he is a quarterback for the Jets. But he's still going to be under a lot of pressure to be able to live up to the expectations that everyone has set for him, and I'm sure he set for himself, with the Jets. But those two quarterbacks, to me, have a lot to prove. And the young kids will grow,
right.
Richardson and Bryce Young and those guys. You know, it'll be interesting to see. But I think the two that have the most, I guess you could say, pressure on them would be those two.
You're Joe Theismann with a Super Bowl championship. My man Jay Williams heard Gilbert Arenas on a podcast not too long ago that if he had a choice between $170 million and keeping that or having $120 million in a championship ring, what would he take? He said he would take the $170 million. What decision would you make?
Well, considering I didn't get anywhere near that.
Joe, you know what I love about you, Joe, is that, Joe, I find myself having conversations with my friends and seeing some of these players and some of the contracts. And I'm like, yeah, exactly. The game is supposed to evolve into this.
Right.
But can you imagine what you would have done, Joe, in today's era with how pass happy it is and the opportunities that are available to quarterbacks now?
Good call.
Oh, I mean, the economics that are involved at the position today. I mean, Daniel Jones is the ninth highest paid quarterback in the National Football League, and he had a year of which he had to prove himself, which he did, by the way, and congratulations to him. And, you know, I don't blame, you know, good for the guys that are getting all the money.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a tough sport. Every sport is tough, and every business is tough, and whatever you can get, good for you. But, you know, I shake my head and I look at the numbers and I think, when you pay that position that much money, how much are you sacrificing in other positions that support it?
Right.
This has been my contention for years. The quarterback position is the single most dependent position on the field. And Freddie, I agree with you. I think it's the toughest position to play in all of professional sports. But the bottom line is if you don't have a line that blocks, look at what Bryce Young's going through down in Carolina right now.
Right.
It looks like the kids just get the living daylights beat out of them. So, and if you don't have wide receivers that can hold on to the ball, if you don't have kickers that don't make kicks, you know, you're going to be on the move somewhere. But I'd take the 120 in the ring. There's nothing like a championship ring. If you talk to people that have gotten close and don't have it, it's fine. But then all of a sudden, if they go someplace and they get the ring, they think, wow, man, I'm so glad I got this.
Joe,
the ring has money comes and goes, but the ring never goes away.
So I agree with you to a degree. I mean, I said I would take the money, but like, I also can think rationally about it for a second, right? Like when people introduce me, when I like I'm on a speaking circuit similar to you, I know you're a restaurateur, like you have a restaurant things. Like when I get introduced, it's always as NCAA champion, Jay Williams. Like when I did your introduction, Joe, it's like Super Bowl champion. Like what is the value of that next to your name for a lifetime? What does that generate for somebody?
Good question.
I think it generates a lot because people want to, like, you know, doing the speaking that we do, people want to know, you know, is there an element of success that I'm missing right now that maybe I can learn from that individual? You know, why did I have the success that I did? Because of my teammates. You know, why did you have the success? I mean, we're not golfers, and even golfers are part of a team now. You've got your caddy. You've got your trainer. You've got your physical therapist. You've got your mental therapist. You have this group of people around you to support you. But when you can have that term champion behind your name, there's a great sense of pride with the people that you accomplish that with. But the fact that you were at the top of the mountain at one point in your life is very gratifying and very satisfying. And it's really why do you go and do anything? Don't you want to be successful in life? Don't you want to be, you know, you don't want to just put on a uniform and go through the motions. Heck, if you can't be the best, why do it? Why put the uniform on if you don't feel like you want to be the best?
No doubt.
And then all of a sudden, you know, that dream comes true. And it's like, we all dream when we're little kids. I never dreamt of a Super Bowl when I was a little kid. I used to watch the Jets and the Giants growing up in Jersey. And it looks so far away when you're so little. And now it's a different era. It's a different time. We see parents sort of grooming their kids in every sport to be champions instead of just letting them be kids. Let them be kids for a little while. It goes away too soon.
Wow. Hey, Joe, always appreciate the time. Great catching with you, my man. Keep it the great work. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having
me. Appreciate
thanks
it, guys. On, take care. Bye-bye.
Great stuff by Joe Theismann, with Super Bowl champion, also NFL
such a good
MVP.
Perspective.
A fantastic perspective on everything, not just involving money, but also letting kids be kids. Little League World Series going on. It's great seeing kids being kids and not adults being able to get
also
in the
way. What he said quickly about the quarterback position being the most dependent
I haven't
position
heard that.
In
yeah.
sports. Never heard that before.
I never heard that. And he's spot on when it comes to that. He also said something that was spot on, in our opinion, when it comes to Jonathan Taylor and his NFL future. We'll get to that next. Jay Williams, Freddie Coleman together on ESPN Radio, ESPN App, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPNU.
This is ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
By the way, if you get a chance, there's a fantastic documentary about Biz Markie. Nobody beats the Biz. You're welcome. I'm Freddie Coleman. He is Jay Williams. Thanks for joining us this morning on ESPN Radio, as well as the ESPN app.
You did it again.
Channel 18 ESPNU. What did I do again? What did I do again?
I mean, you led the show today.
I did.
With so much passion about how you're going to lean into being Freddie Hot Sauce Coleman.
Okay.
And then I just lost you.
What do you mean?
I lost you after the first damn intro. You haven't called yourself hot sauce one time.
Well, I've never been.
So you
I've
lied
never,
to me. I've you looked at
no,
me.
No, no.
Wait, first off,
no.
You looked me in the pupils.
Okay.
And you lied to me. And then you looked at everybody else. You told them with your voice of sincerity.
Hot sauce Freddy.
And authenticity. And you lied to them. So if you're going to say something, please just try to.
I'm not a big believer.
The take me thing just always is going to.
I am not a big
believer. It's not going to age well. It's not going to age well.
I am not a big believer that you say your own nickname that somebody gave you as an introduction. I'm not a big believer.
You're the one that said it at today's beginning of the show, Freddie.
You said
that you were going to be him today, and then you call me Jay Weezy. And then you come in with the subtle tones.
I did not call you Jay Weezy.
I'm Freddie Coleman. No, I did not.
I'm here
with Jason David, Michael Williams.
I did not call you Jay Weezy at all.
Discussing Bryce Young and their all line and the challenges of him being sacked. And we just had, we just had former NFL MVP and Super Bowl champion.
And that's
on
what
the
we're
show,
doing with
Joe
this.
Theismann. And he said some interesting words on a show about Jonathan Taylor. That's not hot sauce, damn it.
That's hot sauce, Freddie.
You know what? This is all I got to say to you as far as this goes. That's all I got to say to you right now, that you put me in
You're
that kind of
You're playing your
pit.
Own sounds now?
Yeah, that's what I got to do that. When you do that to me, that's what you get.
That wasn't me.
No, that was me. That was clearly me.
Take me.
Exactly.
One was me.
You get on me about that. Well.
It shouldn't have started.
What I meant to say was something else.
Sure.
I'm still trying to figure that out.
Yeah, sure you did, as far as that goes. Fine. Along with Jay Williams, I'm Hot Sauce Freddy. There, you feel better now?
Jay Weezy.
I'm not calling you Jay Weezy, man. I'm just not doing that. You're Jay Will. Jay Will's enough.
All right, so what did Joe
Jay Weezy, fine. You feel better?
Yes. What did Joe Theismann say about Jonathan Taylor?
The other Jay Weezy?
Joe!
Joe Theismann, Joey T himself, when he joined us about 5 minutes ago. He believes it could be a smokescreen of the Indianapolis Colts saying, hey, Jonathan Taylor, go out there and get a trade.
No, I think this is all smoke and mirrors. I think Indianapolis said, okay, go ahead, talk to somebody. Let's see if we can work out a deal. Indianapolis controls what the deal is going to be. And in Jonathan's case, he's just got to sit there and wait. I don't understand how this happened, but there's no question in my mind that the running back position is grossly undervalued on football teams. Where would the Giants be without Saquon last year?
Mm-hmm.
Look at the Raiders. Where would they be without, their running back? You look at what's going on in Indianapolis. You're planning on starting a kid that's, played 12 or 13 games, and you don't have your best running back on the field. I think it's absolutely ridiculous to say, okay, go ahead and test the market.
It's amazing.
So, can I tell you my biggest takeaway?
Go ahead.
I've talked openly before, right, because I believe in manifestation.
Yes, you do.
Wanting to own a team.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a G League team. That could be a USWL team. That could be an MLS team. That could be an NFL team. That could be an NBA team. I'd much rather be an NFL owner if I could be one.
Absolutely.
Like the empowerment. Like I'm just thinking strictly from the NFL ownership perspective, right?
Strongest union in the world.
Oh, my. We always say, well, collusion. And then as soon as the game is played, nobody
talks about it.
Nobody cares. You just keep watching football, and they devalue positions. And guess what? Jonathan Taylor, Saquon Barkley, we're all going to sit up here every day and talk about all the positions devalued. And guess what? When opening day comes, we'll be talking about the games.
Yep.
And we'll be talking about the impact. They're like, oh, remember that time Josh Jacobs thought he wasn't going to play and he was going to sit out, but he's still making $10 million?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, still a lot of money. Nobody cares. They have a stronghold on the entire establishment. Whereas the NBA, it's like James Harden. There's no way I'm going to play for Daryl Morey. He's going to make more money over in China or more money on another team potentially, but not in the NFL. They're like, Daryl Morey's like, actually, no, I'm going to try to be an NFL owner. You're not going anywhere.
No, no. Nope.
You're not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. You're going to play for the money that you're supposed to play for.
And then James Harden called him a liar twice.
There's a gangsterism to that. That as an owner, if I were looking as an owner, oh, I want those economics on my side, Freddie.
Yeah, I keep telling people, the only mafia left in this country are NFL owners, period. Once you're in the family, you want to stay in the family. It is hard to get in that family, and it's hard for anybody to fight that family, especially in a player
in the
National
Football
League.
And you can't get out of the family.
No, you cannot. Rookie quarterbacks are in a different kind of family. Which rookie quarterback is going to fail the most?
This is ESPN Radio. More next.